dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Here we go again. You know, you're probably stuck inside, and hopefully you are, because if you're outside, it's no fun. A lot of schools have been called off. A few are getting knocked out early. I do want to tell you right off the top of the show, tonight's UNK women's basketball game against York has been postponed. They may make it up. They may not. With it being a non-conference game, if it fits into a schedule before the end of the year, they'll play it. Otherwise, they won't. So that's called off. Hastings College on at the moment. They're supposed to make a call on that at noon. Hastings is to travel to Doan in Crete, which is usually an easy trip, but there's nothing easy today. And I think maybe it's even a little slicker the farther east you go. Slicker. Slicker. Something you wear when it rains, a slicker. So we may have some updated info on Hastings College and Doan by the end of the program. Coming up on the program today, in just a moment, Mark Bauer, the head wrestling coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. They are ranked third in the country, tied actually with Central Oklahoma, and they are headed to the Cliff Keen National Duels. Nebraska goes there. Of course, they have numerous divisions, and the Lopers will try and make some noise in Division II. Also, it is our year-end Husker football roundtable today. One of the funnest segments that we have all year long. We do it in the spring. We do it before the season begins, and then we do it after the season. And today, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal-Star, Mike Babcock of HuskersIllustrated.com, and Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World-Herald all joining us in the next segment. But weather looks crummy. We'll talk football and wrestling and sports in the area maybe to get you going today. It is time for our weekly Loper Link segment brought to you by The College Store. The College Store on 1420 West 24th has your textbooks, supplies, and tons of Loper gear. Somebody told me college second semester is about ready to start, so this is the place to go. TheCollegeStore.com if you want more info. They've got textbooks. They're the cheapest. They've got the Loper gear to go out and support the Lopers. If you're new to town or if you're just coming in for your first semester, check out the College Store. And, of course, if you've been there before, you know they've got the best deals just across from UNK's Health and Sports Center. Also brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons. They have the loans at Charter West National Bank. And we welcome in the head coach of the Loper Wrestling Program, Mark Bauer. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me this morning. I haven't heard Tony talk yet. Is he there?
Tony's still on vacation. We have blamed... He's been gone since last... Well, it's been a week now. He's been gone a week. He's due back in the state tomorrow.
And what's he, in Florida or somewhere, enjoying some nice weather?
Farther away, Coach. Farther
really?
Away. I think this involved a visa.
Oh,
you know, I know.
He's, bored, huh?
He's so far away, and he's still sucking up all our sun. I don't think the sun has shone one day since he's been gone, my man.
Oh, shit.
So there
well,
you go.
Good to be with you.
Hey, glad to have you, Coach. Take us to where you are right now. A few of the kids went to the Midlands at Northwestern between Christmas and New Year's, but for the most part, outside of banging on each other in the wrestling room day after day after day, it's been kind of quiet.
You know, we had a good break. We took four young men to Midlands, and, you know, obviously one of the toughest tournaments in the nation that was primarily Division I's there. And you know, we fared well. We wrestled hard. We did get to sustain a couple injuries. Actually, our new 149-pounder, TJ Hepburn, had gotten his ribs hurt in our duel against Lincoln. And I really didn't even know about it until right before we went to Midlands. And he was not scheduled to originally go. And the day before we left, they called me from Northwestern and said, hey, we want to get your 49-pounder in. So I called him immediately and said, hey, TJ, I just got a call from Midlands. They want you in. I'm like, what do you think? He goes, I don't know, I just got done eating a buffet at the Mongolian Grill. And so he was quite a bit overweight, but he said, you know, a lot of it, I drink a lot of water, so I should be able to make it. And he did make it, but he went there. You know, he's talented enough. I'm pretty sure he could have placed, but his ribs were bothering the whole weekend. And he got five matches on him the way it was, and I thought that was plenty. And then Taylor May, in his first match, was winning the match against the 8th seed from Maryland and got into a situation where he was kind of fighting a joint, and he tore his capsule in his knee, so he's going to be sidelined for a week or two for us. And so that really kind of hurts us right now. I know TJ's getting back there, so we'll have him in the lineup this weekend, but we've got a fairly big hole there at 57-65 right now. So we've got some work ahead of us. I like where we're at in the brackets, and I think we'll be very competitive in our first couple matches, and I'm hopefully we can get to the semis against Newberry. I'd love the opportunity to compete against them at least.
So you will have people in those spots, or are you going to have to take
opens? We do. We're going to have a couple freshmen in there. They're going to have in their mind that they're out there for the team, and they can't get pinned to give up bonus points, because that's going to really be their job for us. You know, they're not two young men that are going to be competing at the national level for us right now, but we'll just kind of have to get them out there and get them going. I hope they understand what their job's going to be this weekend.
You might have to talk to Coach Munch about how to keep it close. Hey, Mark Bauer joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on our UNK Loper League weekly segment. You mentioned that you'd like to get to the semifinals and face Newberry. We weren't sure, I don't know if you were sure, but when the rankings came out yesterday and Central Oklahoma and UNK were tied for third, that left open the possibility of being on UNO's side. I know you always want to wrestle UNO, but not until the final match. So your thoughts about being on the other side of the bracket?
Well, it's kind of funny that Central Oklahoma's SID actually does the rankings and how they slipped up into tying us. I'm not real sure how that all panned out. But, you know, honestly, right now those rankings are dual rankings. And last night I saw that, you know, the rankings right after our practice, and I walked out in the hallway and I was like, how in the heck has this happened? You know, I didn't want to be fourth seed again because I knew Western State was going to probably be fifth seed. We've been in that fourth seeded position the last 3 years, and second round we wrestled Western State every single year, you know, during those 3 years. And so I was like, gosh, I'd really like a change. And I don't know why they kept us at the third seed as opposed to Central Oklahoma. I don't know if it was because we were previously ranked third before they bumped up and tied us, so I'm not real sure how that actually all transpired there. So, but late last night, about 10 o'clock, I got on the website and saw that they put us in that third spot. I was very happy with that, because most of the teams on the bottom side of that bracket are teams that we don't normally see, and that's really the thing that's probably most exciting for us, for our guys, is seeing competition that we don't normally see, and that's where we're at right now in the bracket, so we're excited about that.
Yeah, the top half of the bracket, even though San Francisco State is just what's the word, member of the RMAC conference?
An affiliate member.
Yeah, an affiliate member. UNO, San Francisco State, Western State, Central Oklahoma, all placed on that side. You get Gannon, Pennsylvania in the first round. They are ranked 16th in the country. Do you know anything about them?
You know, from what I understand, they were actually not originally invited, because they take the returning top six, and they have a point system to get the rest of the teams in there. And one of the teams that you may, I don't know if you noticed this, but Pitt Johnstown is not in there, and they, I believe, are currently tied for sixth in the ranking. And they're not in there because, rumor has it, at least this is what I've heard, they did not get their paperwork in on time, their contract, and so they were denied the opportunity to go.
So
I think that's how Gannon got in, is that they were kind of slipped in at the last minute and said, hey, you guys are the next team that has the most returning points, and so they got the opportunity to be there. You know, I don't know that we've ever wrestled Gannon. I don't know. Maybe we have early, you know, in my career. Maybe we did at the National Duels. But we, you know, again, a team we never see. I don't know a whole lot about them, which I like. I like seeing teams that we don't know a whole lot about. I would say that this year we've got three or four guys that I would call potential pinners on our team, and so we've got some guys in our lineup that can rack up some big points, and so that's exciting for me to know that we've not competed against these guys and that we've got some pinners in our lineup that we can pick up some bonus points on a team like that.
Mark Barra joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, UNK head wrestling coach. After that, Upper Iowa or Wisconsin Parkside, also on your side. You mentioned Newberry, South Carolina, Augustana, Fort Hays, Central Missouri. As that side of the bracket pans out, Wisconsin Parkside maybe in the next round if it goes by seed. Anything interesting or noteworthy about any of those teams that you may face?
Well, I tell you what, Wisconsin Parkside just won a tournament back in Indianapolis this last week. It's called the Midwest Classic. A lot of Division II teams, they won that tournament. I believe they had one individual win the tournament, and they had two in the finals. Again, duels are a lot different than tournaments. You know, you rack up big points when you get guys to the finals in a tournament. You know, duel, it's the strength of the lineup. You know, you've got 10 guys in that lineup, and if you're fairly solid, and, you know, you win more, there's 10 matches, you win 6 of those 10, chances are you're going to win the duel. And so the duel tournament, as far as team goes, is obviously a little bit different. I foresee us getting Parkside. I know Upper Iowa has a pretty darn good team, but I foresee us having Parkside right now. Looking at their lineup, they've got about 4 guys that are very solid individuals, so primarily in the upper weights too, from about 157 up to 197, they've got some really tough kids. So we're going to have some battle cut out for us. I'm kind of excited about that duel also because at 125, their kid, I believe, is ranked like 5th or 6th right now in the nation. Our young man is not, and so it's going to get an opportunity for him to at least compete against a ranked opponent. So I hope it pans out like that, though.
Mark, just in looking and talking with you before, then looking at all the rankings and individuals, UNO appears to be really, there's a pretty big gap. Is that true between them and the rest of the field?
It's very true. In fact, this last weekend, we took our crew, minus the guys that were at Midlands, to the Dana Open. They won 7 of the 10 weight classes at that Open tournament. They're very solid, and where they're young, they're solid, and so they've got a tremendous lineup right now. I will tell you, I don't think they have anybody ranked number 1 in the nation right now, but I believe they have 9 of their 10 kids ranked nationally. So that is a challenge. That's a challenge for anybody. When you're talking overall strength, especially for a dual team, they're very powerful. They're very strong.
Mark, as we get ready now, coming off the national duels, this has been a springboard for your program for a number of years because you guys usually do really well in this. And banged up a little bit, your thoughts about what you as a coach and your staff are putting on this tournament as far as importance as you get ready for the second half of the year?
You know, right now, with a few of our guys being banged up, we're just hoping to go out. I want them to perform well, and I know even the guys that are a little bit injured right now, I know they will step it up and do well. Obviously, we want to try to get up there and place as high as we possibly can, and because we would like that opportunity to return without any type of a point system. Again, the top 6 automatically get that berth back there the next year. And so, you know, staying up in the top 4 is obviously a goal of ours. Other than that, you know, the young guys on our team that don't have the experience, you know, getting them in this dual format prior to us coming into our dual season, they need to understand the importance of wrestling all 7 minutes and trying to pick up those bonus points and just leaving everything out there on the mat, because we got a lot of duels ahead of us before the regional tournament. In fact, that's pretty much all we have left are duels. And again, this is it. This is like wake up time, and get out there, get after it, be there for your team, and do what you can. And so this is exciting. We're looking forward to this opportunity, and I'm happy where we're at with the bracket situation too. So it'll be fun.
And Mark, before we let you go, I got to ask you, since you were on the program just before you went down to Lincoln with that double duel, your close loss duel to Nebraska. What does that say? They're struggling, you're hot, it was just that type of day. Tell me a little bit about what that means.
You know what? I honestly, after that duel, we were one. If we'd have won another match, we'd have won the duel.
Yep.
And after I walked away from that thing, well, first of all, we started off with Central Michigan. And probably the worst beating our program's gotten since I've been here. But I took our guys back in our dressing room, and I was like, guys, that is the toughest team this program has ever faced since I've been here. And I honestly believe that. And then my belief was confirmed when they went out and handed it to UNL. I was like, wow, you know, these guys are dynamite. And so us giving Lincoln a good match, I honestly didn't know. In my mind, I thought, man, this team's really down this year. But just this last weekend, I believe on Sunday, they just, you know, handled easily North Dakota State and South Carolina. And so I was like, you know, we do. We have a strong team this year. And I think when regionals, nationals roll around, if we've got everybody healthy and we're clicking on all cylinders, we'll be right there in the mix of things. We really will be.
Well, Mark, best of luck in Iowa this weekend. Again, they take on Gannon, Pennsylvania in the first round, and if they can win their first two, it's into the semifinals most likely against number two, Newberry. And, Coach, always appreciate your time. Safe travels getting out there.
I appreciate you giving me a call and not having me slide your way today.
It's all about saving gas money, my friend.
That's right. Thanks, Doug.
See you, Mark. Mark Bauer, head wrestling coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, brought to you on our Loper Link every Wednesday. Someone from the Loper staff or administration joins us. Brought to you by Russ Smith at CharterWest National Bank, offering all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans. And at the College Store, 1420 West 24th, they've got your textbooks, and they're the cheapest textbooks. They guarantee it. Ask the manager for details. You can even shop online at thecollegestore.com. Thecollegestore.com. Oh, we've got a dead heat coming to the wire. We've got a dead heat coming to the wire, my friends. That's what's going on. Justin was out in front. Combo Tuffy had the lead, and here come the nuts. Wes from Amherst making a move on the outside. Iowa's win over Georgia Tech, notwithstanding Ricky Stanzi's post-game interview. He has tied Justin. It comes down to the national championship game. We'll talk about that and our Husker Roundtable with Steve Sipple, Mitch Sherman, and Mike Babcock after this.
What is a reverse mortgage? How does it differ from a home equity line? What are the advantages? These are just a few of the many frequent questions asked about reverse mortgages. Hi, this is Russ Smith with CharterWest National Bank. You have questions, we have answers on reverse mortgages. How do you qualify? Is there an age requirement? See us to start a reverse mortgage. You have your reasons, we have your loans at CharterWest National Bank, 4511 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
The power of the eagle. CharterWest National Bank. Showtime!
RV owners know there are only two seasons, RV season and wishing for RV season. And Rich & Sons has a cure for the wishing at the RV Expo Show at the Heartland Event Center, Grand Island. 3 days of the latest designs and models. 3 days of rebates, discounts, and blowouts. 3 days when you can say yes to an RV or camper from Rich & Sons and save even more than ever. Noon to 8, January 8th and 9th. Noon to 5, January 10th. Heartland Event Center, Grand Island. Come see Rich & Sons.
Showtime! Ever seen a dented tortoise? Same way the thick tortoise shell protects its occupant, the Armacoatings spray-on bed liner from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. Armacoatings is the one that goes on hot, stays on strong, no rust, corrosion, dents, or scratches ever. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck, and it says so in writing. That means your truck holds its value longer. Are you surprised the Dent Popper now applies Armacoatings? Don't be. The Dent Popper has been on the leading edge of vehicle preservation for years. See the Dent Popper, north of Railroad on 1st, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, for a free estimate.
ESPN Radio, the City BCS National Championship, Alabama, Texas.
And touchdown!
Both sit at 13-0, ranked number one and number two in the country, and now go head-to-head for the first time in nearly 30 years.
The pusher, he sacked, he lost the football!
Texas and Alabama for the National Championship, Thursday at 7 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A winter weather advisory is in effect for our area today. A wind chill watch is in effect for Thursday. We'll see some snow showers are possible across the area through the day today. Temperatures stay steady and then falling later in the day. Could see an inch or two of snow. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 16.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Oh, you think it's cold outside? You ought to walk into the beer cooler at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft at the downtown Kearney Center. Let's see. Yesterday was Tuesday. Party. Today's Wednesday. Oh, yeah, party. Thursday. Party, 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 because there is football tonight. Central Michigan, Troy, people. Who wouldn't want to watch that football game and everything else that's going on? And they invite you in for the national championship game between Texas and Alabama tomorrow. They have remodeled, and if you haven't been in there, maybe since you went off on, if you're a UNK student, went off on break, or were too darn busy studying for those finals. I know how that goes. Wow. But you might want to get into Cunningham's and to check it out. Don't forget they have the best sports view up anywhere in town. Great crowds, TVs everywhere. It's like going to the new Dallas Cowboys Stadium. If there's a hook on the wall, there's an HD TV, and that's what they've got for you at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft. With the coldest beer in Kearney, guaranteed 32 degrees or less, you don't even need mountains to tell you they're cold because Cunningham's does it. And their new additions, they're still making those as we speak, but it's so beautiful and so spacious. Plenty of place for you. Check out the new layout, and you'll see that Mike and the gang is doing it for you, getting better every single day. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, hey. You might not have to go to work tomorrow. Check it out. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Aaron and Kearney fires off to the Dent Popper inbox. Mark Bauer is an amazing coach. Of course, we just talked to Coach Bauer, the UNK wrestling coach here just a moment ago before the break, talking about he always gets kids out of Texas and Oklahoma and everywhere to come to UNK. Are the Division I schools missing the boat, or do you think he's going to stay at UNK for a long time? I hope he stays and keeps competing for national titles, Aaron and Kearney. Aaron, I think he is a great coach. I think he's also happy at Kearney as long as he is taken care of. He's got a great family. He's got lots of kids. He's a great teacher here at the elementary and then taking care of all the kids. I think he's happy with living in a community like Kearney. Now, somebody wants to throw some money at him and take him to a D1 program. That might be something. Aaron also goes on to say, Assistant Coach of the Year? Are you kidding me? Old Billy C. got that honor yesterday. Would have been nice if he ran the ball like that at Nebraska. No, it wouldn't have, because we'd still have that jerk leading our team. Congrats, Billy, and good riddance. Isn't that like being the fastest fat kid in school?
Wow.
Thanks, Aaron and Kearney, as that transfers us into our Doug and Daddy Husker Roundtable to wrap up the 2009 season. And we are pleased to be joined, first off, by Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star. Steve, good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
You were never a fat kid, were you?
I am now. I don't know what happened. I got married.
Good cooking. Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald. Mitch, good morning.
Morning. Long time no see, Sip.
I'll tell you what, glad to have you guys on. And now, we've got Sip and Mitch, which are rookies compared to our third and most illustrious guest on the round table today from Huskers Illustrated, Mike Babcock. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. I know you got me on here for comic relief with those two guys that know what's going on here.
You're the most illustrious.
You know, I suckered all three of you guys in because Tony's on vacation in the Virgin Islands somewhere for another couple days. So I just want you to know, not here today, and that's why it's not been sunny in Nebraska for one solid week. He's down there sucking up all of our solar rays. So we'll try and move along without him. I joke, before we get into Nebraska, I want to ask you, Mike, what about... Everybody just railed on Bill Callahan, obviously, and for a lot of reasons. He just didn't mesh with Nebraska folks, I think, was the number one reason. Then yesterday, Peter King says he's the best assistant coach in all of the National Football League from Sports Illustrated. When you saw that, when you heard that, what was your thought?
Well, you know, here's the thing, Doug. I don't think, I agree with you, Bill wasn't the right guy for Nebraska. There's no question about that. I don't know that Bill is the right guy for any college program because of his approach. But I never doubted Bill's ability as a coach, an offensive coach in particular. I think where he came up short was all the little things that a head coach in the college level has to deal with. And I don't think that Bill dealt with those things very well. But it doesn't surprise me that he would get acknowledged like that, because I thought he was a good offensive coach, a great offensive mind, really.
Sip, do you think this program is farther along than you thought it would be in 2 years under Coach Pelini taking over for Coach Callahan?
Not necessarily. I mean, I got to split hairs a little bit. I mean, I didn't know that they'd win 10 this year. I thought that was a possibility. I wouldn't have bet on it, though. So in that regard, I'm a little surprised. But and let's face it, the one thing I guess it gets overlooked a little bit, I think, in the discussion, of how far they've progressed is the how far their defense has come since 07. Now, they were 114th in scoring defense in 07, and they're going to finish number one this year. And did I see that coming? No, I didn't. So in that regard, I'm surprised. I never would have envisioned in 07, as we sat and watched those games, that two seasons later, the same defense would be number one nationally in scoring defense.
Mitch, do you think that there is any, I mean, is it simply Bo and Carl Pelini that have changed this defense, or are there some other outstanding factors? Was there actually talent that they developed? You don't hear anybody bashing recruits here under the Callahan administration the last couple of months. Was there another factor in getting this defense turned around?
I think the development of Ndamukong Suh helped the defense just a little bit. But, you know, that's a result of the Pelinis, of Bo and Carl Pelini. I think maybe one of the greatest gauges you could make, and of course this is all hypothetical since you can't play for 4 years for two different staffs, but I would say that if Ndamukong Suh had elected to remain at Nebraska and played for the defensive coaches that he did as a freshman and a sophomore, that you'd be looking at him right now at the end of the 2009 season and saying that was a nice player, you know, probably an all Big 12 guy. There would be no mention of the greatest defensive player ever at Nebraska. There would have been no Outland, Lombardi, Nagurski, whatever else he won, Heisman finalist, first number one overall potential NFL draft pick. But his development and then the development of other guys like O'Hanlon and Dillard and Asante and, you know, some of the younger guys, those are all huge factors in what happened with this defense. But I guess that's six to one and a half dozen of the other, because the reason that those guys developed is because of the Pelini. So yes, they are by and large the main factor that this defense has taken this jump. And I would say that I would not have expected the defense to jump that much. I wasn't surprised so much with the improvement we saw in 2008 over 2007, but then in 2009, you know, that's almost a once-in-a-generation type of defense that they had this year, and I would not have thought that 2 years out from what happened in 07.
It's our Husker Roundtable here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World-Herald, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal-Star, and Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Guys, I guess I'll throw this question out to all three of you, and then we'll kind of spurn off from there, because at the beginning of the year, the consensus, I believe, from just about all of the radio shows, all of the columnists and writers across the state of Nebraska, is that Nebraska was going to compete for the Big 12 North, maybe the favorite for the Big 12 North. That's what they were. Maybe they didn't get there the way we thought. They played that close game against Virginia Tech. I think everybody thought it was a toss-up. I'm pretty sure nobody saw Nebraska beating Oklahoma and losing to Iowa State. But the end result was they were a point away from playing in a BCS title game. So I don't think there's a lot of people that are surprised at the overall record within a game, win or loss-wise. Mitch, I'll just continue with you. Where do you think the Husker football program is right now after this season heading into next year?
I think it's in good shape. I think it's in the best, on the most solid ground that Nebraska football has been on for quite some time. And I would say even more solid than at any point in the Callahan era. There was never a 2 year span where they won 19 games, and had the amount of won 19 games period, or had, I think, the base of, players coming back that these guys will next year. I mean, they lose a lot on the defensive side, but I think we'll find out pretty quickly next year or by the middle of the season that there's some pretty strong guys backing those players up. And the depth on defense, especially in that secondary, is far, far and away better than what it's been really at any point in the past decade. So that and the as long as this offense continues to improve or starts to improve, continues that trend that we saw in the Holiday Bowl, then I think Nebraska's in much better shape right now going into 2010 than it has been as a program since, you know, probably about 10 years ago.
Mike, your thoughts on where Nebraska football is on this January 6th?
Well, Doug, here's the thing. After the bowl game, the word came up a couple times. I think Zach Lee mentioned it. I think Bo Pelini mentioned it. The word swagger. You know, Bo Pelini apparently talked to the team before the game about getting that swagger, having that swagger. And I think that the thing that these two seasons have accomplished under Bo is to get the attitude not only of the fans, obviously fans, that there's a lot of optimism now based on the two seasons that Bo's produced, but on the team as well, that swagger. One of the thing that I felt, and this is oversimplification obviously, but after that Colorado game, after that Colorado loss in 2001, Nebraska, it was an emotional thing. Nebraska lost that swagger, that mindset that you have to be successful at the highest level of college football. And I think that that's the thing that these two seasons have accomplished, is that people now have a sense of that swagger. And it's reinforced by the fact that Bo Pelini and his assistant coaches are not afraid to talk about high expectations. And Bo talked after the bowl game about, you know, we're not where we want to be yet. We want to be about winning championships. And we have the ability to do that. Just to state that, to put that out there, and to not be afraid to say something like that, I think is important, and I think it all goes to that swagger thing. So it's attitude. It's getting that attitude back that when you step on the field, you might not win every time, but you think you're going to win every time. And I think that's the direction that I see that's been the most positive in these two seasons.
Sip, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll just wrap it up by saying that, you know, you go back to 2007 when USC came in here and, you know, just bludgeoned Nebraska. I can remember sitting with Mike in his living room rewatching that game and just seeing, I mean, Nebraska was just getting pummeled up front. It was ugly to watch almost. And, okay, well, that's 2007. Now, I think we all agree, and I mean, the facts are the facts, and I can tell you this is how Bo feels, is that now they can compete with any team in the country. They feel like with that defense that there's no team they can't beat, and why should they feel otherwise given what happened against Texas? And you know, I mean, the guys, I know some of those coaches over there right now think they're pretty sure that Texas will beat Alabama. So why wouldn't they feel confident? When you have a defense, I mean, I think we all can safely say that that's a top five defense nationally, and that's probably being pretty conservative. So, you know, I know Mike doesn't like it when I lapse into hyperbole, but, you know, the facts are the facts. I know that they feel they can compete with anybody in the country, and that defense is a big reason.
Okay, I'll try and fire off maybe a different question to everybody here. And, of course, you can feel free to chime in if any of you guys disagree. But I'll follow up with you, Sip. Folks are saying that Nebraska's defense could be better next year. Well, how in the hell is that possible? They're number one in the country, and you lose the best player in college football in Ndamukong Suh. How can they possibly be better next year?
Well, there's three or four reasons that come to mind. I won't go through all of them, but I'll hit on the main one. The system, they're veteran now. Mitch mentioned that secondary. A lot of veterans in the secondary. You have some guys at linebacker, you know, that have been in the system now. Fisher, Compton, mainly those guys. Up front, Crick and Pierre Allen, Cameron Meredith. You know, I'm not going to name the whole defense, but there's a lot of guys that have a lot of experience in
Lance Thorell. Don't forget Lance Thorell.
Lance Thorell, he's a good player, and he'll be back. But they have experience in that system. They have, I think they, you know, both feels the depth will be better. And here's the thing, you know, I asked him last night, as a matter of fact, he keeps saying this, I asked him that direct question, how can you possibly be better? Well, I mean, he said, look, maybe it won't even show up statistically, but, you know, he doesn't back off. He says, I think we'll be better. And it's mainly those reasons I just said.
Mitch, we're talking Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald, Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock from HuskersIllustrated.com. All right, we all know how great the defense is, and the offense was being thrown under the bus, and then all of a sudden, and I preached it with Daddy on the show all year, I thought the health was the biggest reason that they weren't clicking. And outside of Zach being put in some situations where he didn't throw the ball well, is this a one-game wonder, because now Nebraska, I guess the fans are going to back off, and Zach Lee has the number one spot going into spring ball. Your thought about Zach's performance in the bowl game, and is that the Zach Lee, or is it the Zach Lee we saw for most of the season in conference play?
I think that's a big part of the growth of Zach Lee. And if Zach Lee's going to get something out, other than the experience and just going through the Big 12, if he's going to get something that benefits him most out of this junior season and move it and parlay it into something that allows him to take a huge step in his senior year, I think it will be that growth. And we didn't see it at any point more evident than in the Holiday Bowl, because he put all the excuses away. Not that he had been toting them out there in front of the public, but maybe in his own mind, I think he had set back on that and allowed himself to believe that arm injury was holding him back. And it very well might have been, but I think it became more of a confidence issue than a physical issue, and you saw it a lot in the way that he played. There were many times where he was tentative, especially running the ball. And I don't know that was necessarily directly related physically to what was going on with his arm, but when he stood there after the game and told everybody, you know, exactly how hurt he was, it gave me a different perspective about what he had played through, the toughness that he had showed, and then most importantly, the growth that he had shown in those few weeks before the Holiday Bowl to get to the level that he was at that night, because he was their leader. And, you know, if that's the guy that's going to be out there in 2010 and be healthy to boot, then I think it was a huge step for him against Arizona. And, you know, I think we'll see a much better Zach Lee. I know physically we'll see a much better Zach Lee as long as he doesn't have another injury of a similar nature. But it's intriguing, and I think what we saw from him in the last game really makes me look at that quarterback position in a completely different light going into the offseason than I would have just maybe 8 days ago.
Okay, if we all agree, and somebody can chime in if they don't agree, if Zach Lee is going to be the number one quarterback going into spring ball, who will be the number two quarterback? Are we looking at the Martinez kid coming in? Is Spano ready to go? Will Cody Green be the backup? Real quick, Mike, your thoughts.
Well, for one thing, I agree with Mitch, but I think that Zach Lee's going to have to earn that job in the spring. And there's a little bit of question about how healthy is he going to be? How ready is he going to be for spring? What's he going to be able to do in the spring? The experience that he had this year, if it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you better. He's going to be a lot better quarterback when healthy, but I think he's going to have to compete for the job, and I don't have a good sense of which of those guys is going to step up. I think it's going to be wide open, and you know, Cody Green's going to be a better quarterback than he was this year because of the experience. Cody Spano just has never been able to get going. You know, I suppose LaTravis Washington will be in that mix somewhere. Maybe Ron Kellogg, you know, he was one of the offensive scout team players of the year. I think it's going to be a very spirited competition. You've heard a lot about Taylor Martinez. It's up for grabs. I don't have a good answer to your question.
Simp, what do you think?
No, that's a good answer. I would keep a very open mind as this thing goes forward about that position. I wouldn't try to peg Lee 1, Green 2, anything like that. I think you could see it get shooken up. Now, I think that, you know, once Zach gets back, I mean, I think right now you'd say he's the leader, but coaches are making it very clear that all the positions have to be earned, and pretty much on a daily basis and a game-to-game basis. And that includes quarterback, which is not always that way in programs, but it is in this one. He's got to do it every week, and if he's the starter in game one, that doesn't mean he's a starter in game two. He's got to earn it every week. And I think that thing is wide open, and I know what I'm proceeding with a very, very open mind.
Mitch, you agree?
Yeah, I think I would say that I wouldn't even put a guy number one. I mean, sure, maybe Zach may have that number in front of him, but I don't think that has any bearing at all on the way these guys are going to be evaluated. They know their offense needs to be overhauled. There needs to be, if overhaul is not the right word, there needs to be some serious change in the production of the offense. And as a result of that, it doesn't matter what happened in 2009. Every position on that offense, I think, is going to be a battle through spring ball and into August.
Just a couple of minutes left so we can let the boys get on their way here. Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, and Mitch Sherman. So as 2009 is now in the books and everybody's got a pretty good feeling about Husker football, we lose Sue, we have the quarterback situation, we don't have a Heisman Trophy front runner there. So what's the biggest concern going into spring ball for this football team? Sip, let's start with you.
Oh, I always start with the offensive line. I thought the lack of depth and the because of injuries is, was the root of a lot of issues. So I pretty much always start there, especially when the way they struggled this year. I think they can be a lot better up there because now the thing that they lacked is depth. So I thought they were okay up front, but they didn't have any depth and there weren't anybody pushing those top five, six, seven guys. And you need that every day. And I'm going to tell you, Nebraska didn't have it. Now, when you get Searles and Quale and Ash and Coffee in the mix, that there will be depth and now there will be people pushing each other. So I think that's the area I think they can make the most improvement.
Mitch, what do you think?
Well, I probably would have said the offensive line too, but I'll talk about something that I think is just as important. And, since we're into January now and football season's over, I'm a two-sport guy and I move on to baseball. And as you can see from this weather, I'm really in a baseball mood right now. So, in baseball, they often say that your team is as strong as you are up the middle. Your catcher, your pitcher, your shortstop, and your center fielder. And I think there's some carryover to that and a lot of similarity. That statement rings true when you're talking about the defense on a football team too. I don't think you can overstate the importance of Nebraska losing its nose tackle, its middle linebacker, and its two safeties. And those are the guys that are the heart, the absolute heart of that defense. And I think we can get lured into the trap with Bo and Carl Pelini of thinking, hey, these guys have a great system. They're just going to plug pieces in, and they're not going to miss a beat. And that may eventually be true in some ways, but I don't know if Nebraska is quite at the point of in developing its program where you can say that and have total confidence in it. And those guys are going to be missed. And while there are backups there, I mean, you say Baker, Steinkuhler, take your pick between about four guys at linebacker, and then the safeties with P.J. Smith or Eric Haig or Ricky Tenars or DeJean Gomes or any combination of how you want to mix up those safeties. Yeah, they're going to be good, but they're not going to be at the level right away as the four guys they're losing there. And then Barry Turner, I don't want to forget about him as a senior, but mainly the middle of that defense, the heart of that defense is I think a big concern in how you replace it.
Mike, agree with either one or you got another spot?
I like going third because I sound smart because I agree with both of them. I think the offensive line is important. I think wide receiver, consistency at wide receiver. I think Niles Paul stepped up, obviously, but they got to find some consistency at wide receiver. Maybe Brandon Kinney's that guy. Maybe some other guys step up. They need to find something there to help out that offense. And I definitely think that the defense, I think the system is in place. I think the guys understand it, but I think that they still have to produce. And that's the kind of positive thing I think is going to come out of spring practice. Like Sip said, every job's up for grabs. These guys are going to be competing. And that's one thing we haven't seen in recent seasons is enough depth to where guys that you see as first team guys have to compete to hold that job. And I think that's the strength of spring practice. And I think that will be both those areas, offensive line and the heart of that defense. Those guys are going to have to compete to be successful, to win those starting jobs, and I think that's a positive.
All right, I'll ask you a blog-type question here, boys. Are all the coaches going to be back next year? Anybody heard anything?
Oh, everything I've heard suggests that everybody's going to be back. The only thing that would stop that from happening is if somebody would get a promotion somewhere else, what happened last year in the off season with Eckler. Linebackers coach, if someone comes after him as a coordinator or Marvin, somebody like that, then I think you could see some attrition. But as we sit here right now, I think everybody will be back.
Any irons in the fire? Mitch, Mike, you heard anything?
I think it's important in the area that we're talking about here. As the program develops, I think your staff develops. And so I think the continuity is a big thing. And, from that standpoint, from a fan standpoint, I'd like to see the staff stay intact. I know people want to jump on individual assistants when things don't go right, but if you want that kind of consistency in your system, you want to hold that staff together if you can.
Mitch, same thing?
Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet. I think, as we sit here right now on January 5th or 6th, whatever the date is, that they're all they're all headed toward being back and being a part of this program. And, I mean, Bo Pelini has a lot of loyalty to these guys. I don't see any reason to think right now that there's somebody who's headed out the door.
It's hard to keep those days straight during baseball season. I know that. And Tony would have said, guys, if we need to improve the wide receiver position, maybe Lance Lorell plays both ways. So, guys, always appreciate it. Let's get out of here. Quick prediction. Tomorrow night's national championship game. Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go with Texas, and I don't know why I'm going to go with Texas. If I hadn't been the first guy to answer that question, then I could have agreed with somebody that knew what was going on.
What about you, Mitch? Texas. You going to split it up?
Yeah, I'll split it up. I'll say Alabama. I think they've got a better offense, a more diverse offense. I think maybe just the matchup of having Mark Ingram, the Heisman Trophy winner, with what I think he's going to be able to do on the ground against Texas and that great rush defense. We'll get Texas out of sync a little bit from anything it's faced all year, and I really like Alabama. I think both of these teams have been on a mission since last year for different reasons, but I like what I've seen over the course of the entire season from Alabama better than Texas.
Sip, your thoughts?
Hard pick, and until about in the last 48 hours, I really liked Alabama, but now for some reason I'm starting to think Texas. I think they can handle Ingram and that run game. And I think the Texas wideouts will get a lot done against Alabama. Alabama's a lot different than Nebraska defensively. They rely a lot on pressure. They don't get a lot of sacks, for instance, from their D-line. It comes from pressure. It comes from linebackers. And I think McCoy will be able to handle that. There'll be matchups that Texas likes. And so I think Texas can put some points on the board.
It's always one of the most enjoyable segments of the season. We kept him for 30 minutes, and we could talk all day. Guys, we'll let you go. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald, Mike Babcock, Huskers Illustrated. We'll meet up at Big Fred's or Misty's and settle our tab. Okay, guys, thanks so much.
All right, guys, I got a lot of notes taken here listening to those guys, so this is good for me.
Mike Babcock, I always love watching the old, the not-this-year Husker shows on NET and seeing Bab up front from years ago looking good. Guys, thanks so much, and have a great couple of days off, hopefully. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Mike, Steve, and Mitch joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Great stuff. We'll take a break, be back, and talk a little bit more about what they had to say after this.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a football fan? Or are you a football fan? Let me ask you another question. Do you just cheer? Or do you scream till your lungs bleed? For the first time ever, true football fans can let their voice be heard in the Van Heusen Pro Football Hall of Fame Fans Choice. Just go to jcp.com/fanschoice to voice your choice. And while you're there, check out the completely affordable Van Heusen Men's Collection. Van Heusen and JCPenney, voice your choice!
Hi, I'm Sam Fowler from Domino's Pizza, and you're about to hear real audio from a pizza focus group.
Domino's crust is like cardboard.
If you're wondering why we play such a comment, it's because it inspired us to redesign our pizza. With a garlic-seasoned hand-tossed crust, a more flavorful mozzarella cheese, and new robust sauce, we think it's our best ever.
Hey, man, where's the pizza? Seriously good.
Try Domino's inspired new pizza. Get two mediums with two toppings for just $5.99 each, satisfaction guaranteed. Did we listen to our critics to make our best pizza ever? Oh, yes, we did.
Must purchase at least two pizzas. You must ask for this limited-time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Has the value of your investment portfolio declined? Of course it has. Are you nervous or concerned about your portfolio and your current advisor relationship? Of course you are. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. It's time for an unbiased second opinion. Hi, I'm Matt Westfall with Centerpoint Wealth Management and Grand Island. At Centerpoint Wealth, we use three independent resources to analyze your holdings. We evaluate performance, annual cost, company overlap, and standard deviation. If you've reached the enough is enough stage, it's time. It's time for a serious critique. Bring us your statements and we'll deliver an analysis that you can use right now. Call 398-1174 or visit our website at centerpointwealth.com. That's CENTRE.wealth.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Centerpoint Wealth Management and Securities America companies are not affiliated.
ESPN
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
A winter weather advisory is in effect for our area today. A wind chill watch is in effect for Thursday. We'll see some snow showers possible across the area through the day today. Temperatures stay steady and then falling later in the day. Could see an inch or two of snow. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 16.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. This will be a short segment because we went way long there, or the time we thought we would, with the Husker Roundtable. Mike in St. Paul, we got your email just as we start talking about the quarterbacks. He was saying Cody Spano's name seems to be left out a lot of the conversation. Yeah, I agree. I was saying when Cody Green was struggling a little bit that Spano would probably be the backup. Some people think Taylor Martinez might be the guy that makes a move next year, so we'll see. Joel says, how much does the change in the weightlifting coaches and emphasis in that department play into the improvement of the defense? I think everybody being happy and doing it the right way plays a lot into the defense as well. Nebraska has picked up another oral commitment from Kenny Bell. He's done a little bit of everything at Boulder, Colorado. Yep, that's right. He comes right out of Colorado. He picked the Huskers over Oregon, among others. He played some quarterback, some wide receiver, running back. He punted. He was a defensive back in high school. So there you go. He was making his official visit during the Kansas State game. And don't forget that Husker commit Andrew Rodriguez is down in San Antonio. He'll be playing in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. A nice story about him in the Lincoln Journal Star today. So, and that's also on NBC at noon on Saturday. Derek, let's take a look with the Iowa win last night. West from Amherst is now tied, both at 15-9. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
With Justin from Kearney, who had a chance to put it away the last two nights, but Boise State in Iowa has allowed West to tie it up, and it all comes down. They both have Texas tomorrow night. It all comes down to the tiebreaker. Justin is hoping for a higher-scoring game, and for West, he's hoping for a lower-scoring game. It all comes down to that for two Lazy Boy recliners from Bruce Furniture in our Bruce Furniture Pigskin Pick'em. Oh, good luck, boys. Good luck, boys. We'll be back and talk about what it means to be an American and wrap up our Orange Bowl coverage from last night after this.
Hey, man in a car driving home. Dinner. What are you going to have? One of those frozen diet things your wife bought? Those are nice, if you eat 12. How about Campbell's Chunky Sirloin Burger with Country Vegetable Soup? Always filling and delicious. And now better for you, because now it's made with all lean meat. Plus, it's got a full serving of vegetables. Picture it. The juicy burgers, the tender veggies. Come on, hurry home! At the posted speed limit, of course. Campbell's Chunky Soup. Satisfying and nutritious.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 50% off our already low prices on all Christmas decorations. Which means next Christmas will be bigger and merrier than ever before. And you might want to make a pass by the storage totes. Because with savings like this, you're going to need one. Or five. Get 50% off all Christmas decorations. But hurry. When they're gone, they're gone. More saving. More doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. college or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life.
Now, I understand. Most people watched the Orange Bowl last night, and then it kind of wasn't very exciting. Iowa got on top, and who said it yesterday? At the end of the show, what did I say, Derek? The whole world's on Georgia Tech.
Yep, you called it.
They don't light candles to make it bright in Vegas. They have lots of lights that cost money, folks. Iowa, all the way. I hope you were on it. Best of luck. National championship game tomorrow. I'm not so confident about my pick tomorrow, which I will make. The final day without Daddy. He is due back on Friday, but who knows with this weather. But anyway, after the Orange Bowl last night, which Iowa wins 24-14, congratulations, Hawkeyes. The Huskers would roll you. I just want you to know that. Ricky Stanzi is being interviewed by Chris Meyer. And, of course, Fox, at least last night, they had a couple of, the announced team was good. But he asked Ricky Stanzi about, Iowa being disrespected and you're from the Midwest. Do you play like well, let's listen to what he asked him.
I know you're from Middle America. You feel like sometimes you're representing more than just a school or a conference, maybe an entire group of American citizens out there.
Well, of course. I mean, there's nothing better than being American. So, I mean, this is the greatest feeling. If you don't love it, leave it. USA, number one.
Oh my gosh. If you don't love it, leave it, man! If you don't love Iowa, you leave it!
USA number one!
His whole team's going, oh my god. Chris Myers, not the best question, and then you get rolled for the answer, so. Unbelievable. Folks, a school is starting to get out. Kearney's dismissing at 1. We're going to have an update for you here as we get the list printed out. So stay here on ESPN Radio and all of our stations and on our web, ESPNSuperstation.com. The Fidelke Heating and Air Link has all of the cancellations and postponements and early letouts for school. The snow's coming, folks. It's going to be a mess for a couple of days. We will be back tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show as well. So let's go ahead and get out of here for today. UNK women's basketball for tonight has been canceled. We're awaiting word on Hastings College. We will pass that along, too, as well. They're supposed to go to Doan, but no official announcement as of yet. The Nebraska men, a winner last night, as we figured, over southeastern Louisiana. They head to Texas A&M coming up on Saturday. Auburn's former Auburn coach Tommy Tuberville was in Lubbock, Texas yesterday interviewing for the Texas Tech job. We want to thank Mark Bauer, the head wrestling coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, for joining us on the show today. They head to the Cliff Keen National Duels at Northern Iowa and the Dome this weekend. Also to our participants in the Husker Roundtable today, Mike Babcock of HuskersIllustrated.com, Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald, and Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star. Tomorrow we'll chat with Kearney girls basketball coach Jason Boyd, Hastings wrestling coach Sean Kelly, and Joe DeMeo wraps up our fantasy season from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Shoot us your emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Have a great and safe day, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.